This is Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White. Last week, the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo County announced the largest land easement in the organization's history. The Eagle Ranch Agricultural Easement south of Atascadero will permanently protect more than 3,200 acres. The newest land use development is just one in a string of recent accomplishments for the Land Conservancy. Joining us in studio to explain the significance of the Eagle Ranch land and where other large projects now stand is Kyla Detman, the organization's executive director. Welcome to Issues and Ideas.
Thank you so much, Randall, for having me today.
It's nice to have you here, and I'm glad you have the time to be here. You're busy right now.
We are extremely busy right now. I can't believe it. But of course, we'll make time to tell everybody in the county what we're up to.
Well, let's talk about Eagle Ranch. Can you start by explaining how an agricultural easement works and why that's important?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely a mouthful. But really, to break it down into very kind of easy to understand terms, is that it's an agreement, a contract with a landowner to permanently protect their property into the future. And when we say protect, we mean remove some rights to maybe subdivide it, build a lot of homes. You know, the Land Conservancy is not anti-development. We are for well-planned development. So there's certain ranches in our area and other properties that are maybe not the best spot to build homes. And we enter into these agreements with landowners where they basically agree not to do certain things. And then that gets recorded against the deed, at the county recorder's office. And then in perpetuity, no matter who owns it,
okay,
they can't do those certain things. And what we do is we monitor it on an annual basis or more often if we need to make sure that they're not building homes where they weren't supposed to. And they get compensated for that somehow. They might donate it and get a tax write-off, or that we might purchase it from them, which is actually more common for us as of late.
In this case, it's an easement, so I assume that does not open the land to public use.
Correct. So it's a little bit more of a complex answer than that, though. On most of our easements, we do negotiate or ask for a couple of docent led hikes a year. So there are opportunities for folks to every once in a while join our team and go out for a walk on some of these properties that nobody has ever seen, or not nobody, but the general public has not seen. And sometimes a trail easement could be a part of it, but most of the time on some of these larger agricultural properties, it stays in private ownership, we don't necessarily open it up to the public. But it's really a case by case basis. Some of these really do include a large public access component. It just depends on the property and depends on the landowners that we're working with.
Let's talk about where this chunk of land is, because there are a lot of people listening right now who have seen it and didn't know they were looking at it, because it's right off of 101 in San Luis Obispo County near Atascadero.
It is. It's basically the best way to describe where it is if you have ever driven north or south on 101 between the Santa Barbara exit and the Santa Margarita exit, it's off to the west. So if you were headed north, it'd be on your left. If you're headed south, it's on your right. A lot of people go, is it where the Longhorn cattle are? Because a lot of people see the Longhorns on the side of near 101. It's actually not that piece, but it's just north of that and behind that, and it extends deep into the hills.
The very rugged, verdant area off to the west.
Yep.
It's beautiful land, and it's currently being used how?
It currently is a cattle operation or a ranch. They run a herd of cattle there, and they've managed the land very well over the years. It's beautiful. It's a pristine place. So it's for the wildlife and the cows right now.
And how does that work exactly? If this ranch has been in the Smith family?
Yeah.
For generations.
Yes.
And the Smith family, if they were to decide for some reason to sell this land, how does that work? The new landowner buys this piece of property and, oh, by the way, you're not allowed to develop this.
Right. Exactly. It's every agreement or easement that we enter into with a landowner is very specific. They're all different. But for this particular property, and for actually all easements, the land can go get passed on to some their heirs. It can get sold. It's not restricted. It's not owned by the government. It doesn't, the landowners can sell it just like they would on the normal open market. The thing is a person buying it, a reason they might be interested in buying it, even if it has a conservation easement on it, is that it's significantly reduced in value. right? Because if you go to pay, you basically wouldn't pay as much as you would if it didn't have these restrictions on it. So for somebody who wants a large tract of land with all this beautiful oak woodland and rolling green hills and wants a lot of privacy, they could buy this. There are existing, you know, they can have a home. They could have a home or two out there, but it's it basically can't be subdivided and largely, you know, developed. So the bottom line is it's still marketable. They still will want to buy it, but they'll get it for a lot less of a price tag than if it had no restrictions on it.
Will this particular easement stop sprawl of Atascadero in that direction?
Yeah. So earlier I mentioned we like to help put development in the right places and prevent poorly planned development. Basically what this does is it creates kind of a buffer, or it's not necessarily an official green belt, but it provides more protections to keep development closer to the city center where the services already exist and leave the wildlands wild and keep housing development closer to the city core.
In the press release that went out regarding this transaction, it was stated that this easement will support sustainable agriculture. How does that work exactly?
Yeah, so depending on or on all easements, whether someone's donating an easement or whether we're buying it, if we're buying it, there's an infusion of capital, right? We've given them money in exchange for buying those rights to the property, and they can use that to further invest into their operations, maybe endow their ranch, keep the ranch viable. As we all know, it gets, you know, ranching around here, it's not necessarily super easy way of life. You know, it takes real dedication and attachment to the land and to keep those from being the pressures of trying to make a living off of the land, to keep those pressures at bay, the pressures to sell it or develop it and not have those ranching operations anymore. By doing this, we're infusing capital, or they're making a charitable contribution. They can use that for their tax and estate planning purposes, and the ranch is more likely to stay in agriculture.
Is that the case with Vintage Organics?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. So it will, because we have on projects like that, because we've put an easement on them and infused a little bit of capital, or it can help, and it really. It really just helps keep the ranching and farming viable, because we're providing tools that landowners can use rather than selling off pieces to, you know, to fund, you know, their operation or to make it more viable for them. They're more likely to hold on to it. And for estate planning purposes, that can't be understated how important that is. Not only does it permanently devalue it relative to the market if someone wanted to buy it, it also devalues it related to property taxes and for estate planning. So if it's, you know, if the ranch was so valuable that when the patriarch or matriarch passes away, and I'm saying this in general for conservation easements and ranches, if they were to pass away and try to pass it on to their children, sometimes it's large enough that the children can't afford to keep it. The estate can't, you know, they have to sell something off or develop it. So conservation, these kinds of easements help them in that case. So managing their estates, and we're getting very technical here, but it's very, very, there's a reason why these make sense for landowners. And obviously it makes sense for us because it's beautiful property that we get to protect in perpetuity.
Now, in this case, the land was, the easement was donated. Mm-hmm. In the case of the Pismo Preserve, which is, I would imagine, the big gold star in the Land Conservancy's portfolio, that land was purchased, correct?
Yes, it was, definitely.
And it's in the process right now of being brought up to code, for lack of a better word, so that the public can access it.
Yes. Yeah, I'm sure some of your listeners have seen the coverage that we've had recently about the trail work. We have 20 to 30 volunteers on a given day working behind a little mini excavator, building some phenomenal trails so that when we do welcome the public onto the property, they'll be able to experience all the beautiful nooks and crannies that it has to offer. We are close to opening it, but we still have to build the parking areas and those amenities that will make it safe and enjoyable for people to be there. So we're working as hard as we can to get it ready and open to the public. And it's going to be an exciting day when we do. There's a lot of people that want to get out there. People can currently get out there if they volunteer and work with the trail crews. We've built 9.5 miles of trail already just since January 4th was when we started, and just have a few more weeks to go. And we're doing docent-led hikes in the meantime so that people can get a chance to get out there before it's formally open to the public.
Will the trail structure at Pismo Preserve be a there and back sort of thing, or a loop, or a very variety of those sorts of trails?
It'll be mostly large loops, and there will be a lot of different choices for people to – we'll have great wayfinding so people won't get lost. We'll have good maps to show people the way, but there will be large loops. There will also be a few out and back trails to some of the most beautiful vista points. We had some of the best trail designers and folks out there helping us to design those trails, making sure it would be a great user experience for people riding horses, mountain bikes, and hikers alike. So we've had all of those stakeholders at the table to help us make this what we like to call a safe, sustainable, and sensational.
How long was that whole process from the time that the idea of a Pismo Preserve came to the Land Conservancy to the point where we are now? What amount of time transpired?
We first started talking to the seller, who was the seller at the time, the former landowner, basically 5 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, or actually 7 years ago now. And then we really entered into kind of the agreements and got going on the fundraising part, like really said, okay, we're doing this. The seller agreed to what we wanted, what we thought we were able to raise for the project or the property to buy it. And we started that in 2014. Really, when we went live with the project and said, help us buy this, that was early 2014.
The community and, really came forward up and down the coast.
It was phenomenal. We raised almost $12.4 million in 7 months.
Wow.
A lot of that, of course, was state money. We got about $8 million from the state. But the public, not only were they instrumental, we had those gifts that were, I remember the little girl, 4-year-old girl, who gave us a $2 donation, all the way up to local family foundations that were giving us six-figure donations. But then it was the public. Just the public coming to the county meetings, sending letters to the state. It was that public involvement, like our community really coming together. And we had dozens of speakers at the County Board of Supervisor meetings that when they were considering funding. And so from that point, it was a phenomenal show of support from the community. And we really, we're actually proud of how quickly we've mobilized to build the trails. We're getting, we're still working through permitting for the parking lots and everything, but we're getting close to the end of that. To think of, we just bought it a year and a half ago, and we're getting so close to opening it. And even if we get delayed this summer, it's still a record-breaking time to get a property like this open and ready for the public.
So. 7 years ago would have been the height of the real estate crash.
Yes.
Would Pismo Preserve be something today if it weren't for that downturn in the real estate market?
I'm not sure how much the real estate market affected the former landowners' plans. Certainly, if they had decided to go a different direction and develop it, that wasn't the right time. But I'm not sure how much that really affected their decision, because we're close to them now. We work together to make this happen, and from what they have said is that it's just such a beautiful property and so worthy of protection that they thought this was the right way to go.
Best case scenario, end of summer, that people might have boots to ground?
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. Best case scenario, end of summer. And it's all up to, it depends on, construction of that kind of a, it sounds like just a parking lot and restrooms, but we need to make it, safe, and there's certain requirements for where we're putting it, and we want to make sure that it abides by all the codes, and we have Cal Fire and the city and the county all helping us make sure that it we have to go through the same channels as any developer would to get the parking lot and restrooms built. So it just takes time, and we know the public's really excited, and we want everyone to know that we're working our tails off to get this open, and there's a lot of people that are working really hard to make it happen. So.
Another big project that is part of the Land Conservancy's list of accomplishments is the Octagon Barn.
Yes, the Octagon Barn.
Just off of 101 and Los Osos Valley Road. Mm-hmm. For people who are not familiar with it, it is a historical landmark. What does the future hold there? Concerts and a staging area for the Bob Jones Trail? Is that what I understand?
Yeah. The Octagon Barn is something that we want to be all things for a lot of all people, a lot of different things. So the barn, built in 1906, is such a beautiful, iconic structure. There are not very many of them in the western states, really only one other one that we know of in the southern half of California. And we're, it's just a beautiful, it's on the National Registry of Historic Places. And it's really, it honors our agriculture and specifically our dairy industry. And since we're a land trust that's all about preserving ag land, as well as, of course, wildlife habitat and water resources, clean air, and all of those good things that we all enjoy here on the Central Coast, that the basically the barn will offer that, but it will also serve as a hub for bicycle trails and, of course, staging area for the Bob Jones Trail itself. But we're hoping that a trail will come, you know, even from 227. And basically, it'll be a spot where anyone who's biking in the southern part of the city could come there and or could set out from there. And it will have a museum, you know, that talks about the dairy and agricultural history here, and it will be an event space. We plan to open it up for nonprofits. It'll be a great spot for us to hold our own events, but for even for just community meetings, everything up to concerts and an occasional wedding, because it'll help us pay the bills to keep the barn,
right.
Keep the barn in good shape. But the barn will stay the same, but what we're doing is transforming the space around the barn. So parking lots, restrooms, bike racks, you know, maybe even a small concessionaire that can sell some, you know, ice cream and bicycle tubes and anything we might need for the people using the space.
And this project is also on what would be considered a fast track. You know, when people think about, 7 years, you know, for the for the Pismo Preserve, that's quick, you know.
Yep.
And so the Octagon Barn is sort of on that same trajectory.
Yeah, the Octagon Barn, we actually saved it from collapse in the early 1990s. So it's been we've had a long relationship with that barn. This is the time. Now we're in the last final fundraising phase. So it's a $5.2 million project in all. The County of San Luis Obispo is our major partner, because we'll be serving as a staging area for the Bob Jones Trail, which will be a county park amenity. But we still have work to do to get the rest of the way with the funds. We only need $550,000 out of that $5.2 million that we're trying to raise this summer to construct this late summer, early fall on the barn as well. Hopefully have it open by January 2017. So we have two of probably the largest construction projects in our history all in the same year. So we're ambitious, but we have a lot of people helping us to make it happen.
So, not everything has been a success for the Land Conservancy. There was an effort to turn Wild Cherry Canyon into a public space.
Yes.
Is that still on the... Is that still sort of in the Land Conservancy's wish list of projects that you'd like to see eventually completed?
Yeah, that was in partnership with the American Land Conservancy. I mean, it's confusing. We all have similar names, but we're all independent groups. And we definitely really wanted to see that happen. And it's a beautiful piece of property. We're basically, the current owners or leaseholders know that we're here. And if they if they want to go down the route of conservation, we certainly would love to see that property be conserved and become a part of trail system and be protected for future generations. But we kind of stay out of the fray when it comes to projects and potential development of property like that. They know that we're here, and if they want to make it happen, we would love to participate.
So. And that's a piece of land that would really connect the Avila Beach Port San Luis area with Montaña de Oro, sort of going back behind Diablo Canyon. Do I have that right?
Yes, you have that right. And actually, this is a little known fact. The biggest role that the Land Conservancy, our organization, was going to play in that original deal is that we own what we lovingly call the Hibbard Preserve. It's deep in the Irish Hills, but it's the piece that would connect Montaña de Oro and other state and federal land to Wild Cherry Canyon. Mm-hmm. So almost as large as the Wild Cherry Canyon property, our Hibbard Preserve was going to be that connection. So we're planning, if it were to all come into state parks at some point, we would have, in that setup, we were going to donate the Hibbard Preserve to state parks to make that connection. So we still own land deep in those hills, and that could happen someday. We're not, we could help make it happen, and no matter what happens with Wild Cherry Canyon, so.
Kyla, does your organization work with any neighboring organizations like in Santa Barbara County or Southern Monterey County that do the same thing?
Yes, actually, and that's great to clarify kind of who we are and what we do. I mean, the Land Trust, we're a land trust. We're your local nonprofit 501c3 charity. We have partners that work in other counties that are similar size and taking on similar scopes of projects that we are. The Land Trust of Santa Barbara County to our south, and to our north, the Big Sur Land Trust. They again, a similar size and scope, so similar number of staff, volunteers, large-scale projects. But there's also the local, smaller, all-volunteer land trusts that are similar to us. They're also independent. We might have helped start them, you know, a long time back, but those are folks like the Cayucas Land Conservancy, the Tascadero Land Preservation Society. There's groups, you know, in this county with very enthusiastic volunteers that are doing things even more local to their community. So you can imagine with Cayucas, they're doing small projects and have worked on the Estero Bluffs, which is a larger project, in their community. So we work with them and help provide expertise where needed, or we partner together. And in that, there's strength in that because we can receive funding. You know, we look like we're a united front, which we are. And so there's a lot of different people working on these types of projects. We're not the only one. And we do try to partner as often as possible with other groups that do this work.
Yeah. You grew up in Santa Cruz?
I did. I grew up in the Santa Cruz Mountains in a tiny little town called Ben Lomond. It makes the news a lot because it's one of the two towns that gets the most rain in the state.
It gets a lot of water.
Yeah.
And then you came here to the Central Coast. Did you ever see yourself in charge of an organization that's having such a major influence on the footprint of the lands of San Luis Obispo County?
I couldn't have imagined it, but I also can't imagine now doing anything else. I mean, it's just, it's really exciting to help shape our community going forward. And the people I meet, from the landowners and ranchers with the rich stories that they have of their family's time on the land, to, you know, seeing an eagle or a hawk, you know, flying above these properties, to humpback whales from the top of the ridge at Pismo Preserve. You know, these moments just inspire me to keep going on this because it's tough work. I mean, we have a lot going on. We're all very, you know, our staff and our board are just keep it hopping. We're very busy on a lot of amazing projects, but this work is just, it's truly inspiring. And the support we see from the community is amazing too. I, of course, anyone who wants to help us make all these projects happen, I got to do my job and say, hey, you can donate, just go online, you can join us for volunteer work and really help us make it happen. But this is something that blends my love of the land with ranching, farming, and preserving wildlife habitat. So, and really for me, the driver are my kids. You know, I see that we're so lucky to all live here on the Central Coast, call this our home. And I want it to not necessarily stay the same, because we want to welcome people here and we want to find balance between, you know, protecting our natural places, but also making sure it's a viable place for businesses and families to raise their children here. But that's why I do this work, is to help make that happen and know that my kids can go run wild on a hill and you know, get their hands in the dirt and know what a cow is and where their food comes from, and also get to walk on our amazing trails that we have here in the county.
KCBX has a lot of outdoor enthusiasts,
yes,
listening, and many of them might want to know how they can jump on the opportunity for a dozen-led hike with, mm-hmm, the newest piece of land acquired, the Eagle Ranch land. Is that something you would sign up on a list through your website?
Yeah. Or? So with things like the Pismo Preserve, we're doing 1 to 2 hikes a week, and they fill up fast. But you can sign up but you have to be a member. That's the key, and that's how we, you know, make sure that people sign up with us, and then they know the details of the hike, and we keep it kind of orderly because we know that a lot of people want to get out there. With things like the Eagle Ranch, we would encourage people to sign up as members. Any donation makes somebody a member to our organization, and then you get the news updates and the event calendar for when we host these things. And that's when, like once a year, we'll host a docent-led member hike out on the Eagle Ranch. And so the opportunity to do that is to become a member and get informed.
That might have to, yeah, be a lottery situation, depending,
yeah,
on
it might.
How many people sign up for that. Well, yeah. I got to tell you, it just really interesting hearing the different developments that the Land Conservancy of San Luis Obispo County has going on right now. Kyla Detman, the organization's executive director, thank you so much for sharing all that with us here on Issues and Ideas.
Well, thank you so much for having us today. I mean, and, you know, we have even more projects than what we touched on. Just we're working on 30,000 acres of conservation easements in North County alone in the North Coast for ranches just like Eagle Ranch and also very much not like it, very different, you know, depending on what part of the county. So, you know, there's always a lot happening and we're really grateful to get the word out and we're thrilled that you had me here today.
And this is Issues and Ideas here on KCBX Central Coast Public Radio. I'm Randall White.